Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Friends in Christ, there was a little boy sitting in the back row of the congregation with his mom and dad on that Christmas Eve a few years ago, and as the acolyte lit the Christ candle on the wreath, he whispered, as those preschoolers are bound to whisper loud enough that we could hear it in the narthex all lined up for the procession, says, "Mom, is it Christmas yet?" He'd been waiting a long time because he had seen the candles each week getting another one and another one lit as the weeks went on. Those of you that have ever traveled far with children are familiar with the question, are we there yet? We can never seem to get where we're going soon enough, especially as we journey across two-thirds of the country in a minivan that is a little too mini. The family stress level builds, squeezed together, and the trip becomes less enjoyable as impatience is accompanied with discomfort. The Hebrew Christians were on a different sort of trip. They were heading towards eternity and being persecuted along the way. Being persecuted for the sake of being followers of the Christ. Challenged they were on every side, they were tempted to give up. But the Holy Spirit's message through the apostle and to us was, remember. Remember the former days when, after being enlightened, how you lived the faith. You endured a great contest of suffering. You endured being made a public spectacle through insults and tribulations. You showed sympathy to the prisoners and you accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, all knowing that you have for yourselves an abiding possession, a better possession that lasts. These Hebrew Christians shared in the tribulations of those who were already in prison for their faith. These people went and met their needs, supplying food and other needs, risking their own imprisonment. And these Christians who had suffered for the renouncing of the theology of good works for their salvation now indeed were living their faith as they cared for their brothers and sisters in Christ. For they knew, as our text says, that they had a better possession waiting them, one that no one could take from them. They had received, as St. Peter says, the promise of the eternal inheritance. As he tells us in 1 Peter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." These people knew the truth. They knew the truth that they had been made God's people by God's grace, and that in Christ Jesus they had the eternal promise of he who was coming to judge the quick and the dead. But like the children with journey fatigue, they needed ongoing encouragement. Their patience during the wait was wearing thin. So God's word said to them, "Don't throw away your confidence." These people had confidence before men. But this confidence or boldness was endangered. It was endangered by the surrounding foes of the devil, the world, and their flesh. But the word said to them, hang on to your confidence. The concept of a faith-based confidence shows up several times in this letter, especially so in Hebrews 4, where it says in 14, 15, and 16, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Help in time of need was needed by these people. They needed the confidence that came not from self, but the confidence of faith. Faith not in themselves or in their intellect or in their marvelous homiletical skills. It was the gift of God. This confidence came and comes in and through faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. For it is the crucified and risen Christ who has enabled us to stand before God. And if we can stand before God in His righteousness that He has made ours, we can surely take our stand against the opposition of the devil, the world, and our flesh. We, in our text, see the Spirit encourage them to stand up against opposition on the basis of confidence that was theirs and ours in Christ as the high priest. As it said in the very verses before our text, since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil that is His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Baptized into Christ, possessing Spirit-created faith, the Hebrews were urged on unto the end, to hang on, the end of which we hear. For yet, in a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. By faith justified, by faith living. There is no other way for us to persist until Christmas or unto the end. As our Lord said to the church at Smyrna, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of life. As His servants, we have also trials and tribulations. As we strive to proclaim the gospel, we are challenged, yes, tempted even to give up our confession in the face of worldly opposition. We should not consider ourselves immune from the same sort of prosecution and persecution that the Hebrew Christians experienced. It is happening and it will continue, but how can we endure? In the same way, the way here indicated, by the confidence that is ours through faith in Jesus Christ. For yes, He will come. There will be an end to our trials and to our tribulations. The one who is coming will come, and He will welcome His people to the wedding feast of the Lamb. The trip for us is not yet over, but that Christ did come to live for us, Christmas was, and we still wait to celebrate it with the Christ child. But while we wait, we remember the one who was brought to life, who brought us to life, indeed, through water and the Word. As we continue to serve as his people, we are confident, knowing that his church will survive the trials by faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Indeed, as the text says, we are not those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Are we there yet? No, not quite, but hang on. The best is yet to come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.